especially if they're someone who's interested in maintaining freedom and the rights guaranteed to their posterity, which were recognized by our founding fathers as granted by God, not government, not man, and protected by the Constitution for the United States of America, and a whole lot of other things that we've been discussing. This subject is going to carry into next week. This is Friday, and we've just gotten started. In fact, we may go several weeks on this. I don't really know. But we'll find out. That's for sure. And so while I'm getting my place here, the place that I left off on Wednesday night, you guys can listen to this. Make sure you got pen and paper by your side, and I'll be right back after this short pause.
Government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order.
I continue, ladies and gentlemen, at the place in the report where we left off on Wednesday evening. The subcommittee received evidence that BATF has primarily devoted its firearms enforcement efforts to the apprehension upon technical malum prohibitum charges of individuals who lack all criminal intent and knowledge. Agents anxious to generate an impressive arrest and gun confiscation quota have repeatedly enticed gun collectors into making a small number of sales, often as few as 4, from their personal collections. Although each of the sales was completely legal under state and federal law, the agents then charged the collector with having engaged in the business of dealing in guns without the required license. Since existing law permits a felony conviction upon these charges, even where the individual has no criminal knowledge or intent, numerous collectors have been ruined by a felony record carrying a potential sentence of 5 years in federal prison. Even in cases where the collector secured acquittal or grand juries failed to indict or prosecutors refused to file criminal charges, agents of the Bureau have generally confiscated the entire collection of the potential defendant upon the ground that he intended to use it in that violation of the law. In several cases, the agents have refused to return the collection even after acquittal by jury. So you can see, folks, these aren't police officers. These are criminals. When we call them jackbooted Nazi thugs, we're not pulling something out of the ether here. It's true. I continue. The defendant, under existing law, is not entitled to an award of attorney's fees. Therefore, should he secure return of his collection, an individual who has already spent thousands of dollars establishing his innocence of the criminal charges is required to spend thousands more to civilly prove his innocence of the same acts without hope of securing any redress. This, of course, has given the enforcing agency enormous bargaining power in refusing to return confiscated firearms. Evidence received by the Subcommittee on the Constitution demonstrated that bureau agents have tended to concentrate upon collector's items rather than criminal street guns. One witness, appearing before the subcommittee, related the confiscation of a shotgun valued at $7,000. Even the Bureau's own valuations indicate that the value of firearms confiscated by their agents is over twice the value which the Bureau has claimed is typical of street guns used in crime. In recent months, the average value has increased rather than decreased, indicating that the reforms announced by the Bureau have not, in fact, redirected their agents away from collector's items and toward guns used in crime. The Subcommittee on the Constitution has also obtained evidence of a variety of other misdirected conduct by agents and supervisors of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. In several cases, the Bureau has sought conviction for supposed technical violations based upon policies and interpretations of law which the Bureau had not published in the Federal Register as required by 5 United States Code, Section 552. For instance, beginning in 1975, Bureau officials apparently reached a judgment that a dealer who sells to a legitimate purchaser may nonetheless be subject to prosecution or license revocation if he knows that that individual intends to transfer the firearm to a non-resident or other unqualified purchaser. This position was never published in the Federal Register and is indeed contrary to indications which Bureau officials had given Congress that such sales were not in violation of existing law. Moreover, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms had informed dealers that an adult purchaser could legally buy for a minor, barred by his age from purchasing a gun on his own. BATF made no effort to suggest that this was applicable only where the barrier was one of age. Rather than informing the dealers of this distinction, Bureau agents set out to produce mass arrests upon these strawman sale charges, sending out undercover agents to entice dealers into transfers of this type. The first major use of these charges in South Carolina in 1975 led to 37 dealers being driven from business, many convicted on felony charges. When one of the judges informed Bureau officials that he felt dealers had not been fairly treated and given information of the policies they were expected to follow, and refused to permit further prosecutions until they were informed, Bureau officials were careful to inform only the dealers in that one state, and even then complained in internal memoranda that this was interfering with the creation of the cases. When BATF was later requested to place a warning to dealers on the front of the Form 4473, which each dealer executes when a sale is made, it instead chose to place the warning in fine print upon the back of the form, thus further concealing it from the dealer's sight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is in effect the very same thing as creating a new law, but never informing the public that they have done so. Something that's never been against the law before. Can you believe this, what they did? They were making it against the law for a father to buy his son, who was underage, a .22 rifle. And then they were sending out agents to entrap gun dealers who sold .22 rifles or any other kind of firearm to a father or to an adult as that was going to be given as a gift to a minor who could not purchase the weapon on his or her own merit. And they weren't telling anybody that they were going to do this. It's never been against the law. It's not against the law to purchase something and give it to a minor if you're the parent, whether you know that or not. It's the truth. And the federal government hasn't got any business with their nose in this kind of stuff anyway. It's unconstitutional, blatantly unconstitutional, ladies and gentlemen. The Constitution Subcommittee also received evidence that the Bureau has formulated a requirement of which dealers were not informed that requires a dealer to keep official records of sales even from his private collection. BATF has gone farther than merely failing to publish this requirement. At one point, even as it was prosecuting a dealer on this charge, admitting that he had no criminal intent, the director of the Bureau wrote Senator S.I. Hayakawa to indicate that there was no such legal requirement and it was completely lawful for a dealer to sell from his collection without recording it. Since that date, the director of the Bureau has stated that that is not the Bureau's position and that such sales are completely illegal. After making that statement, however, he was quoted in an interview for a magazine read primarily by licensed firearm dealers as stating that such sales were in fact legal and permitted by the Bureau. In these and similar areas, the Bureau has violated not only the dictates of common sense, but of 5 United States Code, Section 552, which was intended to prevent secret lawmaking by administrative bodies. Now, folks, why would they have to write a law to prevent secret lawmaking by administrative bodies when such a thing is not lawful or constitutional in this country to begin with? No citizen can be expected to obey a law which he knows absolutely nothing about, could find nothing about, is not on the books, and is in fact secret. There's some bad things going on. Very, very bad. This is a United States Senate report, folks. This is what the Senate discovered. And this is mild compared to what's happened since 1982. I continue. These practices, amply documented in hearings before this subcommittee, leave little doubt that the Bureau has disregarded rights guaranteed by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. It has trampled upon Second Amendment by chilling exercise of the right to keep and bear arms by law-abiding citizens. It has offended the Fourth Amendment by unreasonably searching and seizing private property. It has ignored the Fifth Amendment by taking private property without just compensation and by entrapping honest citizens without regard for their right to due process of law. The rebuttal presented to the subcommittee by the Bureau was utterly unconvincing. Richard Davis, speaking on behalf of the Treasury Department, asserted vaguely that the Bureau's priorities were aimed at prosecuting willful violators, particularly felons illegally in possession, and at confiscating only guns actually likely to be used in crime. He also asserted that the Bureau has recently made great strides toward achieving these priorities. You see, folks, they're also chronic liars. Liars! How do people like this get in positions in our government? Criminals! Liars! And they think nothing of it. It's amazing. No documentation was offered for either of these assertions. In hearing before BATF's Appropriations Subcommittee, however, expert evidence was submitted establishing that approximately 75% of Bureau alcohol, tobacco, and firearms gun prosecutions were aimed at ordinary citizens who had neither criminal intent nor knowledge, but were enticed by agents into unknowing technical violations. That's exactly what they did to Randy Weaver, ladies and gentlemen. Randy Weaver never hurt anybody. He wasn't a criminal, didn't have a criminal record, had served honorably in the United States Army. They sent two BATF agents up there to his home to sell him a sawed-off shotgun, which was just barely 1/4 inch under the legal limit. Sold it to him. Then the other one went and bought it from him. So here's two agents coercing a guy that had never done anything illegal in his life or unlawful, didn't want to do anything illegal or unlawful. One guy pretended to be a friend, got to know him pretty well, pretended to be a friend, sold him a sawed-off shotgun, told him that that it was a legal length. And then the other agent went up, pretended to be a friend, bought it from him. Then they arrested him and prosecuted him, told him they were going to put him in jail for the rest of his life unless he would become a BATF spy on all of his neighbors, friends and acquaintances. Randy Weaver refused. He refused, ladies and gentlemen. And they told him if he refused, they were going to throw the book at him, put him in jail forever. So you know what he did? Knowing that the whole thing was rigged beforehand, that it was a kangaroo court, and that he wasn't going to get a fair trial, he just never showed up for trial. Moved his family up to the mountains in Idaho, bought some property, and just stayed on that property. Didn't go anywhere. That's what that was all about, ladies and gentlemen. And then they sent... Well, we'll go into that on another night. What they did is murder his wife in cold blood. Murdered his son in cold blood. Shot Randy and his friend Kevin. And if you think they didn't do anything wrong, Randy was acquitted on all charges. All charges. There is an FBI sniper on trial in the state of Utah now for murdering his wife. And Randy Weaver collected several million dollars from the government for that. And that's just one of the things that they've done. We could sit here and talk about it for the rest of my life on the hour of the time and never run out of material to talk about. Let me finish this report if I can. I keep getting on these little sidetracks because these are things you don't know about. It's exactly what they did to Randy Weaver. These practices, amply documented in hearings before this subcommittee, leave little doubt that the Bureau has disregarded rights guaranteed by the Constitution and laws of the United States. In one case, in fact, the individual was being prosecuted for an act which the Bureau's acting director had stated was perfectly lawful. In those hearings, moreover, BATF conceded that, in fact, one, only 9.8% of their firearms arrests were brought on felons in illicit possession charges. Number two, the average value of guns seized was $116, whereas BATF had claimed that crime guns were priced at less than half that figure. Three, in the months following the announcement of their new priorities, the percentage of gun prosecutions aimed at felons had in fact fallen by a third, and the value of confiscated guns had risen. All this indicates that the Bureau's vague claims, both of focus upon gun-using criminals and of recent reforms, are nothing more than empty words. That's what the Senate report says. I say they're just flat-out lies, and the evidence supports my claim much better than, quote, empty words, end quote. In light of this evidence, reform of federal firearms laws is necessary to protect the most vital rights of American citizens. Such legislation is embodied in Senate 1030. That legislation would require proof of a willful violation as an element of a federal gun prosecution, forcing enforcing agencies to ignore the easier technical cases and aim solely at the intentional breaches. It would restrict confiscation of firearms to those actually used in an offense and require their return should the owner be acquitted of the charges. By providing for award of attorney's fees in confiscation cases or in other cases if the judge finds charges were brought without just basis or from improper motives, this proposal would be largely self-enforcing. S. 1030 would enhance vital protection of constitutional and civil liberties of those Americans who chose to exercise their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of this report. That's it. That is the report. So while you're listening to some music here, I will go on to something else. Whoops. That was the wrong one. We'll have one up here for you in just a second. There you go.
Glad you could make it. Welcome to the new world order. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold.
You get the shaft.
They want it. A new world order. A new world order. CIA, the FBI, the ATF, and the FDA. They don't give a damn about the POW and the MIA. Hillary, Billary, Hitler, Marx, and Mao. They want a new world order. They want it all, and they want it now. This Illuminati imports the dope. They create the chaos, string us out, crush our hope. They created AIDS. It's their designer disease to bring you down, to grovel on your knees. They want to vaccinate your child and give them the mark. They want to illuminate you and keep you in the dark. They want you to pay for it with plastic, surrender your soul. They want you under their thumb,
under their control. They want it all.
A new world order. A new world order. Incarceration, extermination, Rex 83,
a new world order.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get on the internet here in order to go to some material that I want to cover. And the internet service provider does not appear to be cooperating. In other words, it's not answering. Oh, here we go. So it will just be a couple of more minutes. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, these things don't matter. They're still committing illegal acts. Folks, there are illegal acts, and there is such a thing as entrapment. And there are illegal acts that are unconstitutional and unlawful and on their face. When somebody comes to you and over a period of several months makes friends with you and then offers to sell you something that you might be able to use, and they tell you, oh, don't worry about it, you know, and they're a friend, so you trust what they say. I've learned not to trust anybody in matters like that just because of these kinds of things that I know about that none of you know anything about. And you go ahead and you take his word for it, and you don't measure the length of the barrel, which is just barely under the legal length so that you wouldn't know it just by glancing at it. And then another guy that you've known for several months comes and offers to buy it from you and give you a little bit of profit there. Well, you know, if you've got mouths to feed and you don't make a whole lot of money, what are you going to do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can sell it to it. And this is how they coerce people into becoming informants. I know for a fact that the DEA on many occasions has planted drugs on people just so that they could arrest them and scare them half out of their mind and then coerce them by saying, hey, if you don't go along with what we want you to do, you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. And so they get them to spy on everybody that they know. And it happens everywhere. Folks, it's happening in your own community. This is how it's done. And that's what they wanted Randy Weaver to do. In exchange for cooperating and spying on everybody that he knows for the BATF, they were going to make a deal and let him off the charges. If not, they were going to put him in jail for the rest of his life. And, you know, he didn't know that the shotgun was under length. He had no intentions of buying a shotgun that was under length and using it for any kind of, illegal purpose. There was no intent there whatsoever. Let's look at some of the strange things that BATF agents do. Let's sort of take a look at this stuff. We're on our webpage, the Harvest Trust webpage, under BATF. And we got all of this stuff. And just go down here. Well, let's take this one. This was reported in the Milwaukee Sentinel, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on March the 9th, 1995. An agent of the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was assigned to administrative duty pending the outcome of an internal investigation into allegations he held a gun to the head of a man in a downtown tavern, an ATF spokesman said. The 43-year-old agent appeared in the district attorney's office Tuesday, but no charges had been issued Wednesday. The agent allegedly threatened a man at the Gaslight Tavern, 775 North Jackson Street, Monday evening. The agent was not arrested. The agency's Office of Inspection is investigating the incident, said Jim Kubushek, an ATF spokesman in St. Paul, Minnesota. So what do you think, folks?